This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and here comes Deckhand Bliss, Yodeler Bliss, Engineer Bliss, the Disney veteran himself. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. And there's a story about Disney that's impossible to avoid. Bambi. Bambi's getting a rewrite in a live-action Bambi version, but there's controversy already. Jeff, as a Disney veteran, you're the man to deliver this news. What have they done to Bambi in the new script?
Good evening, John. Well, a former Disney screenwriter behind the Bambi remake said that the scene in which the famous deer's mother dies is just too much. It needs to be scrapped because it triggers parents and children. It's this whole kind of snowflake thing. So, you know, first thing's going to happen is, you know, Bambi's going to just become a magic orphan. Then we're going to hear stories that old Yeller never died. And everybody else is A-okay. I mean, they're taking all the parts of what are realistic parts of life out of these fairy tales. And, you know, this is just one more example of where the Disney films have kind of gone off the beam, whether it's been in the cartoon realm or in the real life realm.
How do you do Bambi without mom dying? That's the strange part. This is like Bambi has a dream. Is that they're going to do that? I mean, Bambi.
Well, then she's going to have to say that, you know, Bambi's mother abandoned her or abandoned him. And so now you're working up a whole nother psychological problem. So I don't think you can win. I think this is just, you have these people in Hollywood, both the filmmakers and the screenwriters and others, that have this weird notion of what life really is and what it should be. And it's just, they're screwing with the brand. As we talked about before, Disney did not get to where it was by being weird like this. And so they're screwing with the brand. It's not going to work out well. We've seen several other films over the past year or two where screenwriters, directors, and others have played around with the story that already existed, one that was much beloved, and have ruined it, or at least ruined it at the box office.
I was making a list of your veteran status at the Disneyland, and the time you were Deckhand Bliss, this is 20,000 Leagues. So the new version is going to be Greenpeace shows up and protects the octopus. Is that it? The giant squid?
I think you ride the Sea Shepherd and put yourself in between the whale and the squid, or the whale.
Kirk Douglas with the axe, remember, he comes on deck and starts chopping away at the giant squid's tentacles.
Well, yeah, Pete is going to get involved and stop that. So, yeah, there's no ending to this.
I also had Little Red Riding Hood. Grandma lives.
And the wolf coexists right next to them. I'm sure it's all A-okay.
But here's a challenge. How do you do Cinderella without the stepsisters? How do you do it?
I just think if you're going to put it in a woke context, then you have to make those stepsisters, you know, from some evil group, some group that's phobic or has too much money or not enough, you know, whatever. So I think there's ways that a lot of these people, a lot of these directors and writers would like to take the old stories and take them in a new direction. Unfortunately, that's them. That's their audience. And that's not the broader audience, the bigger world out there. So it's reflected in the box office. And that's why you have people like Iger coming aboard and saying, look, we got to fix this. We got to get a brand, a person over that's over brand, a senior vice president. We got to pay attention to what we know, what we can do very well. And this junk, that's exactly what it is. It's junk.
Disney and DeSantis are still wrapped up in a legal tangle. We'll leave that aside for the lawyers. It's making rain. Lawyers are making money on this. Take on the state of Florida. In Florida, your chances are slim. So we'll go to gas prices. You sent me the picture of a tote board in Malibu. So this suggests that your prices are out of range. Now, wasn't the governor going to fix this? I don't remember how he was going to do it.
He was going to get a waiver for the gas formulation that allows the gas formulation to change earlier. See, what happens is in the warmer months, they change the formulation so it doesn't hang as heavy and as thick in the warm months where it gets worse, the smog gets worse. But by opening it up earlier, it'll bring the prices down, because the formulation for summer is always higher than the winter. So if they can get that fixed, it'll bring it down by 10, 20, maybe 30 cents a gallon. But, you know, right now, statewide average is $6.06, down a little bit. But really, if you go throughout L.A. County, Orange County, you know, Orange County might say that they're, you know, $6.23 a gallon, but you get out there, on the roadway and you are hard pressed to find anything under $6.50 a gallon.
Malibu says $6.99, but that was Friday.
Yeah, a lot could have changed. And, you know, Malibu does sit out there on the coast. It's kind of harder to get to. And, you know, they know that they've got a buying public there in Malibu that has some money, so they're not afraid to raise a little bit. But it is indicative of what's happening in the rest of the state. It may be a little higher than most, but it is kind of a canary in a coal mine, because we're seeing prices go up. And the word is we're going to see it continue to go up in the coming months.
Dianne Feinstein has left us, and that means an open Senate seat that Chuck Schumer will want filled as fast as possible. The governor has made some commitments, but you tell me he's in trouble with his own party. How so?
That's right. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type of situation, because you have some people saying, well, he promised that we would put a black woman in that position. Then you have other people in the party saying that's very cynical. We need to have somebody from the party who's proven that they can help lead the California contingent, you know, that can be as strong as Dianne Feinstein was, have that kind of pull, that kind of push. And so really any choice he makes, he's going to get hit by the party. However, I will say I don't think any of that is going to take away from support that he'll get when one day he decides to run for the White House. All it's going to do is be some noise. But what will be interesting is that kind of the parlor game is they think that he may appoint a black woman to fill the seat right now, and then feel free to let it go to the primary election. And it might be between, there is a black woman running, but it could also be, you know, another woman, Katie Porter, or it could be, our friend Schiff, who was also running. So you have Barbara Lee, the black woman, Schiff, and Katie Porter. Could be any of those three. They all have strong backing in the party.
I heard a name that is familiar to us, and it would be an unusual solution. London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco.
That's a name that was floated out there, but honestly, I don't know if you'd have enough people in San Francisco that would support that. People are very unhappy with how far she's been able to advance the city. You know, under her, yeah, the city's kind of dropped out.
But she's going to be primaried, so that's why I'm just mentioning that I thought it would be a practical solution to maintain her career, although it's just for a year, I understand. This is to fill a temporary slot until the primaries. Apparently there's a primary, there's another primary, there's a general election. You're going to be voting a lot for whoever wins.
Pick a day and we'll have a vote on it.
We're mentioning San Francisco. The San Francisco Chronicle has a story. It says that they've invented a safe RV parking site for $140,000 annually. You can park here. Now, Jeff, we've done landlord stories before, but I don't remember it seeing $140,000 mentioned. It was some resident somewhere who had turned his backyard into vans that were unhygienic and polluting the neighborhood. This is a different story. Is that correct?
This is a different story. This is something that would be managed, operated by the city or county. The other one was a private interest. They had unsanitary hookups. There were complaints from neighbors for a decade. This is something that, you know, they're trying to take care of the housing situation and the homeless situation all at once. But it's such a small drop in the bucket. All it's going to do is serve as fodder for people who are pointing fingers at London Breed and everybody else in San Francisco saying, you don't know what you're doing.
There is a sad story about a California black bear. Jeff sent it to me last week because he is Pacific Watch. And the bear, a 3 or 4 year old female, was crossing the road. What happens when the bear crossed the road? And that's the sad part. They did try to contain it, didn't they, Jeff?
They did. They did try to get it to a safe spot. Unfortunately, this bear, who had been very active and very mobile for, you know, several days or weeks before, had been agitated, of course, very high stress situation with all the people and helicopters and fire and policemen, you name it, our animal control, and, you know, was not really running with a purpose. And you had traffic come through and a person hit the bear and killed it, unfortunately. This does happen, certainly in the mountains and the hills behind L.A. quite a bit, not just bears, but also deer and other animals. So I was not surprised to hear this, but it is sad.
And we'll mention that later on this week, I'm hoping to talk to your faculty at Cal State about a shark story. Now, for all the big kahunas out there, this is Kahuna Bliss. He's going to surprise you about your many happy times surfing in California. What have we learned, Jeff?
So Chris Lowe, who's considered one of the leading experts in sharks, particularly in white sharks, has really been on the vanguard of using drones for videography and photography along the shoreline. So we've seen a real uptick in great white population in Southern California. So they put up drones to find out just how close and how many of these sharks were in the water near people. And what they realized is probably in about 90% or so, give or take, of the situations where somebody's in the water, surfing, swimming, wading, there's a white shark nearby. And that's both good and bad news. It's bad news because nobody wants to think that there's a shark like that within biting distance. But the good news is it goes to show you that the sharks, for the most part, really aren't interested in people. There's just not enough there for them. They prefer other things in their diet. But it shows that we are kind of coexisting, however nervously, with these sharks. Now, these are juveniles, but sometimes big ones come in as well.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. I'm John Batchelor.